Penguin Random House Audio presents Based on a True Story, a memoir by Norm MacDonald, read by Norm MacDonald with Tim O'Halloran. Dedicated to Charles Manson. Not that one. Three Fingers Whiskey pleasures the drinkers. Moving does more than that drinking for me. Willie, he tells me the doers and thinkers say moving's the closest thing to being free. Billy Joe Shaver, Willie the Wandering Gypsy and me. To live outside the law, you must be honest. Bob Dylan, Absolutely Sweet Marie. I know of only two very real evils in life, remorse and illness. Leo Tolstoy, War and Peace.
Introduction. Found alive in a hotel room in Edmonton. You're dead. The hell I am, they'll see. I'd heard this kind of talk before. How I'm finished. Through. Obsolete, passé, yesterday's news. A has-been, a fossil. Why, I'll have you know, I'm just as relevant today as I was 25 years ago. No, my agent laughs through the phone like it's the greatest joke in the world. Check your Wikipedia page. You're dead, all right. I look around the room and see the small bottles that are scattered everywhere. Those small bottles that make me feel so big. They're empty now, of course, just like me. My suitcase is in the corner, same one I've had my whole career. And it's all beat to hell, stitching coming out of the side, but still does its job. Shorter. Stand-up comedy is a shabby business, made up of shabby fellows like me who cross the country, stay at shabby hotels, and tell jokes they no longer find funny. You show up in a strange town, next thing you're gone. Then another town, and another, then a thousand more, then another. You're moving, always moving, like a criminal drifter, getting what you can from a place, and then getting out. You're never in one place long enough to experience anything but the shabbiest of love. I turned to look at the girl next to me in bed. I must have met her last night at the comedy club, where they had a great tall picture of me leaning against the door to remind the people what a big shot I once was. Her hair is bright yellow. Her lips are bright red. And she'll wake up soon, and I'll pretend that I remember her. I make my way quietly through the dim room to the wide-open minibar. It's empty, but for one tiny bottle way at the back. I always leave one. I drink her dry, the way a man puts gas in his car when the tank's near empty, just to keep going a little longer down the endless road. Damn near 50. Over at the table, I hit a couple of buttons on my computer and discover what my agent found so funny. Some joker has changed my Wikipedia page, all right, and he's left me for dead. Norm MacDonald, October 17th, 1963 to May 12th, 2013, was a comedian, an actor, who was known from, I read on and on, till the final sentence, the death sentence. Mr. MacDonald was found dead in an Edmonton hotel room from an overdose of morphine. Well, that's a sight to see, all right, with all the authority of the internet behind it. So I'm standing stock still in the very same Edmonton hotel room where I died the night before. And then I start to laugh. And I laugh to beat all get out, just like my agent did, just because I'm alive and I can. Then a thought comes to me in a sudden. A thought that stops all my laughing, makes me real cold, and has me craving a couple of grains of morphine, or at least some whiskey. And the thought is this. The preposterous lie on the screen before me is not that far off. After all, the only thing this joker really did was change tenses, turned does to did, is to was. He got the date of my passing wrong, for sure, but nothing else. To misquote Twain, it turns out the rumor of my death is only slightly exaggerated. So now, I start to read this thing on the computer again. Only this time, I read it the way I imagine a stranger will, in a few years or a few decades, when it's true. You know, in the future, when I was Norm MacDonald. So this is my life, then. These words on this screen. Well, it doesn't add up to much. Just a series of facts. And I suppose that's what a man's life is, after all. But it's more than that, too. I mean, it has to be, doesn't it? And so I decide I will write an account of my life, my own self. My side of the story. Damn near 50. The girl on the bed is beginning to stir now, and I feel sorry for her, same way I feel sorry for myself every time I have to wake up. I struggle to remember her name, but it's just no good. And as I look at her and wonder who we were last night, I come up with a title for my book. Well, I'll call it Based on a True Story, because it comes to me that there's no way of telling a true story. I mean a really true one, because of memory. It's just no good. It's like when a guy is telling a story and he's way off, and you know he is because the whole story is about you. But he's changing it all around, leaving out important parts, making up others from whole cloth, doing whatever he has to do to turn the dead stuff of life into something worth telling. And you'd correct him. But the thing is, you're not sure you remember it 100% accurately yourself. It turns out your memory is not the precise court stenographer you think it is, getting every word down just so. It's more like the sketch artist way at the back of the courtroom, who is doing his level best to capture images that no longer are. So, it won't be a true story. It'll be based on a true story, like every story I've ever told. But I promise you this, it'll be the truth. Every word of it, to the best of my memory. And I won't just scratch the surface either, no siree, Bob. I'll claw and tear into this showbiz career of mine, and I'll let the filth fly like a mad dog digging up bones he buried deep and long ago. And I'll name names, and I'll drop bombshells. I bet they'll pay good money for that kind of thing, for the straight dope on the Hollywood crowd. And the SNLers, too. And I need money. I need money to live. Damn near 50. I open the curtains and it's raining outside. I catch an image of myself in the window. And the rain blurs my thin reflection as if I'm barely there at all. And I see there's a bruise under my left eye and some dried blood. I look down at my hand. And the heel of my thumb is swollen purple and hurts like a bastard. And that makes me happy. It means the girl on the bed was fought for and not bought. She's full awake now. She's holding her head and squinting, and I watch her as she sees me. I can tell she doesn't remember anything either. Well, that's okay. I'll hear all about it later from the guy who runs the comedy club, and I'll sit and listen, transfixed, to the forgotten details of last night, and I'll shake my head bewildered, feeling like a trespasser in my own life. I look at the girl squarely. I'll get us a bottle. She has a pretty smile.